engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the beginning of the book of Ezra. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Therefore, whoever among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. Let everyone who has survived in whatever place he may have dwelt be assisted by the people of that place, with silver, gold, goods, and cattle, together with freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone, that is, whom God has inspired to do so, prepared to go up to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors gave them help in every way, with silver, gold, goods, and cattle, and with many precious gifts, besides all their freewill offerings. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord has done marvels for us. The Lord has done marvels for us. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with rejoicing. The Lord has done marvels for us. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. The Lord has done marvels for us. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert, that those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The Lord has done marvels for us. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done marvels for us. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one lights a lamp and conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We have today, when we consider the saints we are honoring, and the words of the first reading, two very contrary examples of civic leadership, one affirming religious freedom and the other attacking it. King Cyrus of Persia came into power. He did not follow the God of Israel, but he allowed those who did to do so. In other words, the Babylonians had come in prior to Cyrus and attacked Jerusalem, burned the city and the temple, took the people away into exile in Babylon. This was in the 6th century before Christ. Jeremiah the prophet, having foretold that this was a punishment from God for their breaking of the covenant, told them to be good citizens and to build up the city in which they were residing in exile. They had to endure it for decades, 70-year exile. But Jeremiah also foretold that the exile would end. God would have mercy on his people and bring them back to his land, because remember, the promises of God were connected with that land. A descendant of David still had to arise who would reign forever, of course, the prophecy referring to Jesus. And so in the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, he foretells the end of the exile. And now Cyrus comes to power. Babylonians are no longer in power. And he looks with favor on these foreigners who are in his midst. He looks with favor on them, and he says, go if you wish. Not all of them went, but go and return to your land. And here, I'm even going to help you with goods, and I'm going to encourage the people. Look, he says to the people, help them. And they do. And the people go back to Jerusalem, and they rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. So Cyrus is also referred to, he's here in the book of Ezra, but he's also referred to in the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 45th chapter. And Isaiah calls him a Messiah, a Christ, an anointed one, in other words. Both Christ and Messiah mean anointed, someone who is given a special mission by God. Well, Cyrus had a very special role to play. He, again, was not himself a follower of the God of Israel, but he allowed the people of Israel to follow God, to rebuild the temple, to return to their own land if they wished. All their neighbors, furthermore, at the encouragement of King Cyrus, gave them help, it says, in every way. Let everyone, this is part of the decree of Cyrus, let everyone who has survived in whatever place he may have dwelt be assisted by the people of that place. This is what a civic leader is supposed to do. I always say at election time, we're not looking to elect people necessarily who are living our faith. We're looking to elect people who are going to let us live our faith. The relationship between church and state is not that the state officially adopts the religion, it's that the state protects the religion. There's a difference between adopting it, our leaders adopting our faith, and protecting our faith. Cyrus was indeed an instrument of the Lord. Then you look in the 19th century in Korea. So you have this priest, Andrew Kim, and a seminarian, Paul, who was assisting him, together with a whole other group of priests and lay people who were martyrs. Now, the rulers there in Korea took exactly the opposite approach of King Cyrus. They were afraid, as Christianity began to grow in Korea, they were afraid of foreign influence in their country. And so instead of allowing, encouraging, protecting people in the living out of their faith, they tried to snuff it out, to persecute and destroy it. So between 1839 and 1867, you had these priests, 11 of them, together with 92 lay people. So you had 103 martyrs put to death because of their faith, because of their following of Christ there in Korea. These lay people included scholars, court officials, merchants, farmers, widows, wives, put to death for their faith. We don't want foreign influences in our country. These Korean authorities absolutely contradicted in the most shameful way the role of a public servant. The role of a public servant is to serve the public, not kill the public, whether by religious persecution or by taking away the right to life of children in the first 9 months of their existence, or in any other way. The persecution, of course, of religious freedom and the persecution of the children in the womb has become part of the fabric of the Democrat Party in the United States. They're falling into the same mistake that these Korean authorities fell into. We wear red today because the martyrs shed their blood. They weren't looking to shed their blood. They weren't looking to be persecuted. They weren't looking for death. They were striving to be faithful. They were of the mind, as every martyr was, take whatever from me you feel you have to take, but you're not going to take from me my fidelity to the Lord. So I'll endure whatever consequence there is of my professing my faith, but I won't allow myself to deny my faith. That's the stance of the martyr. Not looking for someone to kill him, but simply looking to be faithful. We are so far from that spirit. If we, as many, as in fact, we in the priesthood today, in America at least, are actually told by bishops not to get anybody angry. Do we celebrate? Are we really going to say that and celebrate the martyrs at the same time? You realize how utterly absurd and ridiculous and laughable that is? The martyrs were martyrs because they got people angry. They got people angry, not by unnecessarily carelessly doing so, but by being faithful to the faith, faithful to Jesus Christ, and saying so. Faithful internally and externally. But if you go around having as your primary guiding principle, they even make it into a virtue, they make it into a dogma, some of these misguided church leaders. Oh, well, we can't get anybody angry. We can't be divisive. What a ridiculous, what a downright stupid thing to say. It's downright stupid, and it's offensive to God himself and to all of us who are trying to be faithful to God. Jesus Christ himself didn't get that memo. Oh, you can't be divisive. You can't get anybody angry. You know, to those who are saying this in such an indiscriminate way, would you please stop? And would you please wake up? Would you please get your head screwed on straight? Father Andre Kim and Paul and these 103 Korean martyrs, help us to think clearly. Help us to think in a sane and sober way about what is the right thing to do. Profess Jesus Christ, defend the faith, defend life, defend truth, and do not be swayed by people who get angry at you, set themselves against you, or even try to kill you. St. Andre Kim, Andrew Kim, and companions, pray for us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.